so glad to be here this morning. Yep, here we are, another Sunday. Praise the Lord. We are going to start off with one of the best songs ever written. That might be exaggerating a little bit, but Danielle Netterend requested this for our Wednesday worship, and I loved it because I haven't sung it in so long. So here we go. Come now is the time to worship.
Spirit, break out. Break our walls down. Spirit, break out. heaven come down. Our Father, all of heaven brought your name. Sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven.
Behind your
thank you for who you are, what you've done. We thank you for this place. We thank you for so many blessings, God. I just pray that you would be with us today as we hear your word. Help us to have soft hearts and open minds. God, thank you so much. In your name we pray. Amen. Pastor Adam.
Amen. Amen. Have a seat if you would, or it looks like you've already done that. Welcome to everyone who has made it to the outdoor on-campus service, also online, all over the world. It has been exciting to watch as God can take a little corner church with technology and some challenges. Obviously, if you haven't noticed, there's been a few challenges this year, a couple things going on. But it's actually allowed us, one of the words the Lord gave us was to enfold, enlarge, and enfold. And we've definitely done that. We've been able to enlarge and enfold throughout this entire season, and it's just been great. And so we also have service outside tonight at 5:30. So if you want to be double dippers, we will take the double dippers. It's out at off Claremont Drive in West Mission Bay. And that is a great time as well. We're actually seeing more people show up there than in our services here. But I want to give you a few, let you know a few things that are going on. Just for a little context, obviously things are changing, and one of the difficult things is as if you're a business owner, a salon owner, a restaurant, or a church, or just someone has a kid in school, everything is changing, and so we're trying to keep you as up-to-date as possible. That's going to mean that we're going to do our best to make sure that the website is updated. Every Thursday, get on that newsletter. That's going to have some of the most recent information. That's going to all be there. But we also want to meet you partway. It means that you have to reach out to us. If you don't know what's going on, call the office, leave a message, write us an email. We want to work together. We both need to work together to make sure this information. Let me tell you a few things that are going on. One, we've just finished our Summer for Your Soul. And just, you know, providentially, the Summer for Your Soul ended right about when this outdoor order changed from the indoor services to the outdoor. We had about one more week to go. We finished up and made some changes. And so typically we take a break in August, which is great. So we're gonna do that in August. The majority of, most all of our groups are gonna be taking the August off. It is a time for the staff to rest, to us have some chance to plan for the fall. So we will have a daily devotional online. And then there's also gonna be our services here and at the Bay. And so just keep an eye on that as things might be changing. So that'll be happening in August. So look for us to return strong in December. Our new groups are going to be starting. You'll hear about those. And our outdoor space is going to be starting in September. Be looking. There's a lot going on, and we'll be doing that. For August, we're going to be taking it easy, letting the staff relax. They've been doing yeoman's work, especially this media team, just to make sure that you're reached. We really care that you're reached. We want to do that. So I want you to know about August. That's going to be happening. There's a new series starting called Jesus Unmasked, and I'm super excited about that. A little play, a little pun there, or whatever it is. And we're going to be just looking at Jesus. We have four of their pastors that are going to be speaking here, Pastor Joe, Pastor Jim, Pastor Harry, and we're excited about that series. I encourage you to come and encourage them as they speak. I know when I was a speaker at another church, it was just awesome to have everybody showed up. I remember when Pastor Mark wouldn't show up, like, or wouldn't preach, and then people would be like, "Oh, I'm not going to go to church," and I'd be like, "Bummed. No one wants to come like here when I speak." And so, we really want to encourage them. So for the next few weeks, this is a great series. It's going to be a 4-week series, and your pastor, who has preached every sermon but two since January, is going to take a break. So a much needed break, and I'm excited about that in August. So be reaching out to us, and during that time, we're going to be doing another thing. This courtyard out here that some of the people are sitting in is part of our legacy campaign. We're hoping to redo with the permits the children's building. But until then, one of the things we need to do is revamp this outdoor space. So part of the legacy campaign is the courtyard. I met with David Robinson yesterday. He's our designer for the church, did the patio series. We're going to be developing the courtyard first because we're really going to need that to have outdoor spaces. We do not know how long we're going to need to be meeting outdoors. So we're looking at some new decking options, some seating, heating, all types of things. So the legacy campaign is going to go forward, but we're going to start with that courtyard. Want you to know, you'll have a full update about that before we work. We're hoping to have it done, and pray for us in your 6 minutes of prayer for the church. We're hoping to have that done in September. So by September 24th, it's a quick turnaround, but that'll be a beautiful area. It needs to be redone anyway. So just know if you've given towards that legacy or you're continuing to give towards it, It is desperately needed. We're doing it all cash, which we're excited about. And you guys, it's because of your faithfulness. So thank you so much for that. Look for updates on the courtyard. We'll be doing that. And hopefully in September, that'll be an incredible space out here with heating and the proper shade. We just don't want to waste money doing it quick. That's the one thing. We don't want to do a quick solution and then have that be wasted. And so if you can just put up with it, and we thank you that you do. We know it's not the most amazing space right now, but we didn't expect on a dime to turn around that quickly. Also, I've asked you to do 6 minutes of prayer, battle prayer for the church. And if you're a part of the SEAL team, then do 11 minutes of prayer. But if you've been praying, we felt it this week. We definitely needed prayer. We saw breakthroughs. The Holy Spirit class, we had some just words from the Lord that walls are going to be broken down, that God's going to move. Pray for your church. Just 6 minutes a day. Set your alarm. Pray. Somebody said, I never knew how difficult 6 minutes of prayer was. And it can be, but hopefully that'll go on. So be praying for your church all of August. Pray for us. Pray in the Spirit. And then finally, before we get to the across the pond, so finally, this is the addendum before we get to the finally. This is what we're going to ask you to do during this month of August. I want you to reach out to people, people that you know at the church. We want to make sure people are connected. People are not connected. And we want to make sure. So reach out to your friends, people you know. Reach out, say hello, do that. Care for others. And if you need care and you're watching this online, we want to be there for you. Reach out to us. The one thing that we don't do is read minds. It's incredible. We do a fair amount of things here, but I can't read your mind. And so if you need help, say, hey, you know, we're depressed. I need to use some of those scholarship funds for the family counseling. I set up people with family, three different people with family counseling this week. Reach out to us. Reach out to others. The other thing that we're asking you to do is to continue to support financially. This, has been amazing. You guys have done that. This group has done that. It is so encouraging that when you reach out in that way, it's just something that we don't have to worry about. And when we need to do something like do the courtyard so we can reach you, that those funds are available. It actually means that if you're giving regularly here at this church, you'd consider yourself more than a visitor. And so we really want you to encourage you, if you haven't been, jump on board, keep doing it. Right now we're heading in the right direction. It's very positive. It is so encouraging when you give. And so if this is your home and this is your church, or you just want to give a one-off gift because you're being blessed and this isn't, please do that as well. Now the final event that we're doing is Pray Across the Pond. This is a little video about a prayer event happening next Saturday when we're going to connect with another church over in Scotland and Edinburgh. So I'm going to let you watch this video, and you'll get a link about it, and you can sign up and register to be a part of the ride. Here, check it out. Hello, La Jolla Christian Fellowship. Pastor Adam Stattmiller here with an announcement about a virtual prayer event that we're going to be hosting with a church across the pond. St. Stephen's Church in Edinburgh, Scotland is going to be connecting with us Saturday, August 8th at 9 a.m. our time, 5 p.m. their time, to pray for our nations, to pray for our countries, to pray for our families, our churches, and health and safety around the world, and for all the things that God is doing, and also praying for revival. We're excited to meet with this church. My friend Timothy Pitt is on the eldership board there, and we connected together not long ago when I went to Scotland, and their church, I visited it. It is a lot like ours, and there's some amazing people. And we just want to create global connections for our church and theirs, just small churches, corner churches, that can make a difference as we pray together and unite our hearts in prayer together. Here's Timothy Pitt to tell you a little bit about his church and what's going on for this special event.
Hi, I'm Timothy Pitt from St. Stephen's Cumberly Bank Church in Edinburgh, Scotland, UK, where I'm an elder. So we've got La Jolla Christian Fellowship, LJCF. We've got St. Stephen's Cumberly Bank, SSCB. One from San Diego, one from Edinburgh, Twin Cities. In this day of physical distancing, we're practically neighbours. So let's do something together. Let's hang out for an hour. 1 hour on Zoom, praying. We'll set up a prayer by Zoom. We'll have nominated members from each church to lead the prayer, and everyone in the church families will be invited to join and to participate through the chat messaging. If it works, maybe we can do more, develop it. If it doesn't work, well, we spent an hour hanging out with each other, getting to know each other, and praying to God. What could be better than that? I'll leave Pastor Adam to talk about the logistics, but have a think, have a pray. Let's do it. See ya.
I am so excited for that event because so many of them are going to have that accent, right? Like, I'm so excited for that. So if you're interested in that event, it is on our calendar page. If you'll go there, there's a pre-registration link so that you can sign up for the Zoom, and that way you can get the notifications and get in there on the morning of, and we'll jump on a little early to make sure everybody's getting connected. But yeah, go check out the calendar page. I just want to piggyback for a second on what Pastor Adam was talking about in terms of, you know, how we're being safe here at the church. Remind everybody what kind of our big five things are right now, and that's that we are wearing masks when you are not socially distanced more than 6 feet away from somebody. So if you're on campus, we ask that you have a mask on, especially if you're moving around. We're asking people to keep that social distance. We are asking people to wash your hands frequently, and you'll notice because it's Communion Sunday today, we have stations for hand sanitizer and trash bags out at the welcome stations for you as well, in addition to our regular hand washing stations, which there are many of. And then temperature checks for the kids as they're walking in. We're asking adults to just do that before you come and stay home if you're having any kind of symptoms or feeling sick. And in addition to that, as Pastor mentioned, we are doing outside services as well. Thank you guys so much for coming to service out there. And for those of you that are at home watching, thank you for doing that as well. And for coming tonight to the Bay, we want you to come at 5:30. And it's such a fun time. Bring the kids. They get to, you know, hang out, play frisbee, fly kites after church and stuff. It's just a really cool event, a cool place to be, and you get to hear the message. So please come join us for that. All of those same kind of, you know, safety things will apply there, but it's still going to be a really good time. It's always fun. We love the Bay Nights. They're actually going really, really well. So I want to mention, too, next week is Baptism Sunday. So if you want to get baptized, we can do that at the Bay or here at the church, which is kind of cool. And if you haven't gone through the class yet, we have Pastor Joe who's teaching that, and we can get you signed up for a class and get you baptized. We also do baby dedications on Baptism Sunday. So if you have a child that you're ready to dedicate to the Lord, we can do that as well. Communication cards is where you can turn that in. If you want to get baptized, you can find that online, or you can turn in your communication card. Those are on the greeter stations out there where our welcome team is. But if you're online, you can just go to our homepage. There is a communication spot right there. And you can also put your prayer request there. And if you need those things like Pastor was talking about, counseling resources or other prayer requests, you can send us an email or find us on that homepage link there to request those things. And then lastly, I want to talk about the camps for high school and middle school. They are doing, they're underway right now. So they're still in need. There are a few scholarship needs still left. We've had several meetings with Pastor Harry about how to be safe and compliant during these camps, and he's doing a great job making that happen for us. These camps are outdoor, and you're going to see a video in a minute about how exciting it is for them. It's such an important part of their walk with Christ. We really want to continue to provide this for them, but we're doing it in like a safe, compliant way and making sure that everybody is just having a good time while they're out there. If you are led to help them out, you can just go to our giving page, and where it says tithe, there's a pull-down bar. You can just select youth right there instead, youth camp, and you can help them out. There are a couple kids still in need of scholarship and other camp funds, and that's all I have for you. So let's get a sense of how fun it is for them with this video that we have.
That's an awesome video. And last week I said it reminded me of Jurassic Park, but I realized it also reminds me of Jumanji music. And so there's this building anticipation to get these kids to camp. They're going to do it. If you want to give to that, God's going to use that and provide a life-changing experience. Also, before I go into worship through giving, if you're at home, you might want to get a cracker or some bread when we go into communion at the end of service and some juice. Don't want you to be left out. Jesus in John chapter 6 said that I am the true bread that came out from heaven to the world to give life to people. I am the true person that you will never be thirsty if you drink of me. Later we're going to go into communion, but Jesus came to die to give life to the world for whoever believe. And when you give financially to the church, we do our best job to bring life to the world on this corner and the corner wherever you live. So you can also, if you want to practically give, there's a box right outside. You can also give online. So let me pray for our offering. Father, Son, and Spirit, thank you that you gave us Jesus who came from heaven to earth to die and break his body, and we eat his body symbolically, and that gives us life. And he shed his blood to give us life, and we symbolically partake of communion, and he gives us life and will never be thirsty. And as we ask you to bless this financial offering or tithe so that we can bless the world and show the love of God. In Jesus' name, bless this. Amen.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all.
So beautiful, so true, so encouraging. Worshiping God through giving, through singing, and now through sitting under an ordained pastor who is called to bring the word of God. And I'm going to read Galatians 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of rage, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy and drunkenness, carousing and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. This is the word of the Lord.
To see what is a Christian, what is a follower of Jesus Christ.
Oh. I would like to use as a subject from which to preach this morning, remaining awake through a great revolution.
I'm not asking you tonight if you one night kneel down and make confession and after that your life was no change, your lifestyle was no different, your appetites were no different, your prayer life was no different. Come on.
Amen. Hopefully after 10 weeks of the Sparking, the series, the Flames Revival series, you know what Leonard Ravenhill was actually saying there at the end with his accent. And we're going to get to hear some of those accents at the Pray Across the Pond event. Pastor Joe preaching next week. Super excited for that. So excited to have him back up in the pulpit. That's going to be great. And also, as we kind of take this month, there is a ton of content online. This entire series is 10 series, if you haven't caught them all. Also, the Holy Spirit Workshop, all of Elliot's teaching. There is enough resource for you to go through and really be fed for this entire month. It's been great. And then we also had the Sermon on the Mount series and some other things that have gone on. So check those out. Let me just pray as we move into the final episode of Sparking the Flames of Revival. Jesus, we thank you, God, for your goodness and your grace and how you love us. Let the Word of God come alive. And Jesus, we want to bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are free, you don't need to prove it. Anyone who is free does not need to prove that they're free. Truly free people live with such a sense of freedom, they rarely even think about freedom because they are living from a place of freedom. This last week, I had an opportunity to explore freedom and what it means to truly live in freedom and what it means to not. And just to let you know, I have not had the flu for about 15 years. I worked at a 5,000-person church. I am not, a germaphobe, but I've done a ton to make sure that I haven't gotten the flu, and I haven't had it for 15 years. I get a vaccine every year. I use hand sanitizer when I would shake hands at my church, even doing flu season. I did all these things. I didn't touch doorknobs. When I go get gas, I always have a little thing that I use to get the gas. It's just something I've done, and it's not that I'm a germaphobe. I just don't want to be sick. You know, I just don't want to be sick because I got things to do. I got surfing to do and all types of things. So I was at the gas station this last week or a couple weeks ago. And I went I was getting frustrated. Everywhere I went, people were telling me what to do. Do this, don't do this, don't do that, do that. And it was frustrating me, even though the majority of things that I was being told to do were things that I already did. But it was still frustrating me. And something was welling up inside of me. This libertarian freedom was riling in front of me. It was beginning to burn hot in my soul. And it was telling me, don't follow that rule, even though it's a rule that I already followed. And so I pulled up to the gas station, and there's that janky, dirty gas handle. I mean, is there few things. I feel safer in a restroom than I do touching that thing. I don't know why. There's just something, depends on the restroom, actually. There's just something about it. And so I walk up to it, and I think to myself, I'm just gonna grab it. Now, this is not something that I really haven't done for like 15 years, but something inside of me was like, no, prove you're free. You're a free person. You live with Christ, grab that gas handle. And so I grabbed it and I thought, what are you doing? why are you changing what you do to prove you're free if you're free? And it's something you agree with. I don't like janky, gross gas handles. Paul talks about this in this passage, not so much the gas handle. But Paul begins to speak about freedom. He begins to speak about freedom and seeing freedom as the highest octane fuel that God gives you to live according to. A free people cannot be stopped. A free people live free from bondages and yokes of slavery, yokes of the works, or yokes of having to live according to the flesh and prove your freedom. I believe in the moment, in my gas nozzle moment, in that moment, I was rebelling in a way, and I was living according to the flesh. I wasn't living according to the freedom that I have, because I was living according to the Spirit. I love myself, and I don't like getting sick, whether it's 2002 or whether it's 2020, and I was not loving myself or living according to the Spirit of loving myself. The reason I do those things is because I love myself. And I want to do the things that are right. Now, Paul talks about this in this conversation about circumcision. But there's a much bigger lesson here for us than just the Jewish discussion on circumcision. Circumcision was this thing that was given by the law that God gave as a symbol of a future promise and of a covenant. And if you were circumcised, it showed that you belong to God. After Jesus died on the cross, we are now, as Abraham understood, but we are now freed from those things of the law, that we can live in freedom, and we no longer have to have those symbols. You're free from it. But this was a massive change for the people of God and the Jewish people. This was a massive change. And so there was this back and forth as the church began to settle in to new rules, new regulations, and life according to the Spirit, not life according to the law. Now, Paul, if you have your Bibles, and hopefully you do, we're going to be looking at a few passages within this chapter 5. Some of it is on your notes, but it was a lot of passage, so I didn't put it all on your notes. And you can find it. But the first thing that I put in the notes is this. Freedom is one of the most underestimated weapons of spiritual warfare. Freedom. The devil does not want you to be free. In the beginning of this passage, in verse 1, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free." Now, I've mentioned this many, many times. There are people who are set free, and then they go live in bondage to a whole bunch of other things. Just because you're out of jail doesn't mean that you are free. Freedom is a spirit that comes from the Spirit, and it allows you to be freed from two things, as we'll see in a moment. One is indulging the flesh. Freedom, true freedom, living in the freedom that the Spirit gives, will not indulge the flesh. Because when you indulge the flesh, it becomes a law. You become a slave to your flesh, and you're no longer free. But there is also another type of freedom that was going on in Paul's time and goes on today. Besides indulging the flesh, which will make you a slave, is another one of self-justification. That you start doing things to prove you're good before God. You start doing things to live according to the law, and you build a self-justification. You build a righteousness based on the things that you do. Paul says that there is a shadowlands. It's actually not a shadowlands. It's where the brightest truth of God dwells. But a shadowlands between living according to the flesh or living according to the law, which is self-righteousness. And he says there's this beautiful place in the middle called living according to the Spirit. When you live according to the Spirit, you're not gratifying the deeds of the flesh, and you're also not living according to this law. Let's look at this passage real quick. Let's go to verse 1 quickly. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. So he set you free on the cross, so now that you can live in freedom, you don't have to live according to those old things. And then it says, stand firm. Now, where have we seen that before? Stand firm. We've seen that in Ephesians. Remember, we spoke about the gifts of the Spirit, and Paul says in that same passage in Ephesians 6, that when you've done everything to stand, what does he say? Stand firm. So you have to be able to make a parallel. Paul was building a bridge between Ephesians chapter 6 and Galatians chapter 5. And one of the things that he's using is he used war metaphor when he talked about the gifts of the Spirit. He talked about battle, he talked about the armor of God, and then these gifts of the Spirit, which are elaborated on in Corinthians 12 and 13. And he elaborates on these. But then he uses that same stand firm. Remember, when you've done everything to stand, you're all ready for battle. Then he says, stand firm. Well, he brings it back up in Galatians chapter 5. Now, why does he bring it up? Well, he brings it up because he understands that the fruit of the Spirit is just as much a weapon of warfare, and these fruits of the Spirit will lead to freedom, that as much of a weapon as the gifts of the Spirit. We tend to weaponize the gifts of the Spirit. We tend to see the gifts of the Spirit, you know, these different gifts, administration, the teaching of the word, prophecy. We tend to see these more like the kung fu gifts. You know what I'm saying? These are the ones that you use to go change the world, you know, and these, you know, you're doing all that, you know, kung fu fighting. And we see those. But then when we talk about fruit, we're so nice, right? Fruit is so nice. You get a fruit basket. And I've started giving fruit baskets at Thanksgiving. It's a really cool British thing to do. And I just a basket of beautiful fruit. Living in California, it's not that big of a deal because we have fruit all the season. And they have airplanes that can ship it from anywhere in the world. Nonetheless, we see this fruit. I don't even know what my picadillos of Thanksgiving are in Christmas. But we see fruit as this really nice thing. Love, joy, peace, hope. It's so nice. Actually, Paul is using the standing metaphor to show that fruit is just as much of a weapon. But he uses it as fruit. And then the reason it's just as much of a weapon, or perhaps more, because the fruit of the Spirit, if you can live in it, fruit of the Spirit means you're living in the Spirit. So the tree, imagine the Spirit like a tree, and the fruit is the production that you are living in that place. So you're only going to have fruit if you're living in the Spirit. It says, the, you know, you'll know the root by the fruit, and the Spirit of God is the root. But Paul says that these gifts of the Spirit, these fruits of the Spirit are eternal. These will be in heaven with you. The gifts of the Spirit will not be in heaven. There will be no tongues in heaven. There will be no gifts of administration in heaven. I don't think that the Spirit of God needs you to organize his office for him. All of these things will pass away. So which gifts are actually more powerful? Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 13, that the fruit of the Spirit are actually more powerful because they're eternal. Well, we have a lot of people that are operating in their gifts, but they're not living according to the fruit of the Spirit. We want to be a church that lives according to the Spirit, the and are free from the law, so that we can just love and live according to the fruit of the Spirit. If I could have a church filled with the fruit of the Spirit or a church filled with the gifts of the Spirit, I'd ultimately like to have both, but if I had to choose one, give me the fruit. Because you can have a lot of things being produced that are not done in love. I've said all the time, you can accomplish all of your goals and exceed them and violate all your values. And you can also live according to your values and never reach one of your goals and have a life of value and purpose. You see, values are more important than goals. And fruit, I won't say it's more important, but it is more eternal than the gifts of the Spirit. So he's weaponizing it here. Stand firm. Do you see, when you have peace in your life, that it's a weapon to change lives? Do you see that when you have joy in your life, when no one else is happy? I was at Costco yesterday. There was actually a fair amount of people that were somewhat joyful. But there's a lot of people, when you get to those intersections over by the produce in that little cold room, gotta tell you, Spirit was not flowing, the fruit of the Spirit. There was fruit there, but not the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if I'm living according, now listen to this, because we're gonna get into this. This is a little analogy. I'm gonna put you at Costco. Imagine yourself at Costco right now. If you are living according to the Spirit, that when you get to the corner in Costco and three people go in front of you, and this one gentleman thought that he would just rush behind this lady even though it was my turn to go. If I'm living according to the law, then I think to myself, well, you know, that was not nice. You should have let me go because it was actually my turn, and I know it was my turn. Or, hey, only 15 items allowed in this line, lady. I want you to know, okay? I counted. You got 17. You're living according to the law. You know who that's going to make miserable? You. Or you can live according to the Spirit, with the fruit of the Spirit, where the lady has 27 items in the 15-item line, and I think, you know what? Maybe she needs to get home quicker today because she's got a sick child, and I just want to love her. As a matter of fact, there's a lady behind me. I'm going to let her go in front of me, and I'm just going to let it flow because I don't care, because I'm not here to count how many items you have in your thing. This is living according. This is freedom. This is living according to freedom, not living according to the law. And so we see that in verse 1. And he says, do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. That's going to make you a slave. That's one thing that he's talking about, living according to the law or living according to the fruit of the Spirit. If you live according to the fruit of the Spirit, then all of a sudden you'll be free from the law. You'll be you'll be less upset, less worried. I was talking to a friend of mine out today. They said, I stopped reading the news, stopped watching social media, all the stuff that was going on. I'm so much happier than I was before. because the news is meant to bring chaos into your life. I was watching the Bob Ross channel this week and just bringing myself, you know, some of that peace, that PBS peace that you can get from Bob Ross painting. And he said, you know, in our little world, this is a happy tree. Maybe you've seen him. I don't know if you watch Bob Ross. This is a happy tree. It's a happy mountain. There's no chaos in our world. It's a beautiful place. If you want chaos, watch the news. I was like, Bob, this is 1978 when you said that, and it's true today. Be free from a yoke of slavery. You will know if you have a yoke of slavery. You will have fear, worry, pride, lust, all that. You will feel it. There is a physical feeling. God created us for our spirit to also reflect how our body lives. You will be healthier if you live according to the Spirit. If you laugh more, the Bible says you'll be healthier. Studies say that, living according to the Spirit. The Spirit is above the law because the Spirit wrote the law. Do not live under the law, because it says in this passage you are free from the law. Let's keep moving. Fruits of war, I said that. Similar to Ephesians 6, Galatians 5 speaks to standing in battle and weaponizing the fruit of the Spirit. Talked about two types of bondage. The first, self-justification. In Galatians 5, Paul seeks to demolish any platform of self-justification, knowing that it is an impossible task that leads to death. We see that in verse 2 through 6. Now, the other is unrestrained freedom. And usually, we do both of these at once. A lot of people, they give themselves a lot of license, but then they judge other people. When you judge other people and you hypocritically do the same things yourself, you are not only living according to self-justification, which will weigh you down and lead to death, but you're also living according to a slavery to yourself and to your flesh, which will also lead you to death. It is a 1-2 punch. Once again, the Spirit of the law, which wrote the law, is above the law. And I will say this, that if you live according to the Spirit of law, you don't need a law. I'll give you one more analogy before we jump into these two things and then come in for a landing. Because the Spirit of the law always does what is right and is above the law, it would, just think about driving. You would never need, if everyone lived according to the Spirit, life in the Spirit, you would never need road signs, because no one would ever speed. Why wouldn't they speed? Because they'd be so concerned about other people. They'd be so wanting to love. They'd be so wanting to care. They'd be so unselfish. They would see that this is a safer way to drive, and they would drive that speed. You would not need this. Look in the garden, Adam and Eve. Why were they able to be naked and unashamed in the garden? Because there was no lust. There was nothing calling them to sin. And so when you looked at something, you didn't covet it. There was no covetous in the garden. So you could leave your things out and no one would ever steal your things, because you didn't need to have laws, because you lived according to the law. Now, God gave one law. He had to give one law so that we could have free will. He gave that one law. It's a different message. I spoke about it in the very first sermon, which you can find in January online, that talks about that law. Let's move into justification, self-justification. These are two things, and I want you really to be asking yourself, do I feel free? Do I sleep well at night? Am I constantly burdened? Am I constantly worried? Am I constantly lusting after something? Am I constantly coveting after something? Am I constantly wanting to prove who I am? We talk about self-justification. If you are in a life of self-justification, then it will come with emotions and feelings. It'll come with a lot of guilt, because you know that you're not living up. I had two meetings with people today, and I had to stop them when one person said, well, you know, I've had this in my life before. I'm a failure. I said, you're not a failure. I said, do not speak that over yourself. You are a child of God. But they were living in this condemnation. And I said, well, why don't you go ahead and do this thing? And they said, I've been disqualified because of this. I'm no longer qualified to do that. It was basically what they said. And I said, yes, you are. You were qualified by Jesus Christ. He took your shame. He took your fear. He took all these things upon on the cross. If you are living according to self-justification, or you're worried, this week, I have a lot of this week analogies. It was quite a week, wasn't it? Yeah. Thank you, Chris. And this week, I got up and I was tense. I knew it was there. And I sat in my quiet time, did my 6 minutes praying for the church, and I did about, I don't know, I did a few minutes. I spent some time with the Lord, and I couldn't shake it. And what I tend to do is I'm more fight than flight, so I'm like, go to work. Just start organizing stuff. Clean the garage, for all I know. I can just go, as long as I clean something, I feel good, okay? Maybe some of you are like that. It's gotta go organize a closet, and it's like, oh, the world's better. Nothing changed, but I organized the forks and the towels. And so I was sitting there, and I said to the Holy Spirit, and I've been teaching my Holy Spirit class this, if you didn't get a chance, I've been asking them to resource the Holy Spirit. Ask of the Holy Spirit to do what he said he's gonna do. And I thought, I'm not getting up until you fix me. I need to be fixed. I'm not going to work like this, and I need, you know, I'm just going to wait. So I waited. I've kind of felt, you know, open the Word of God. I started reading Romans. I just opened the Bible. I just did one of those, like, open it up. And I opened it up, and I think I ended up in Romans or somewhere in the New Testament, and Paul says, if I did this, I would be lost because I would be trying to please man or I'd be afraid of man. He says something like that. And all of a sudden, I realized I was living in this tension between certain people are upset. Okay, it's very hard to live and lead in COVID without, because you have these far massive extremes, right? You have these massive extremes, and you know, and people are tense. And so I was living in this thing of like, oh, I got to please everybody, which is actually impossible. I need to please the Spirit of God. If I live according to the Spirit, I'll live in love and above the law. And the other thing too is, well, if I don't, what might happen? It is such a 1-2 punch. The fear of man. And then also trying to please man. As soon as that revelation and that truth came to me, it washed away. All of a sudden, I felt my spirit go, poof. You will know when all of a sudden you get that truth, you get that wisdom. In James, it says, ask the Spirit for wisdom. He'll give you wisdom. You will know when you get it because you will feel a physical change in your body. It actually happens. And we can wait on the Lord. If we wait on the Lord, and God's teaching me, hey, spend a little bit more time. I want to teach you how to battle so you can be more mature. It is not hocus pocus. Unfortunately for me, when I just say, Holy Spirit, fix me, he doesn't immediately always fix me. Sometimes he's like, well, you know, we're gonna work together for a while. We're gonna build this wall together. We're gonna build this hedge of protection together through your prayers or whatever. And so often, I just leave the job early. It's like, you know what? Too much work. Let's go for some distraction, you know? Let's just find some great distraction that I can do. And a lot of times those distractions, whether it's too much, you know, media consumption or going to the media to hopefully find a few good stories that you agree with. I don't know if you're a news person, but you kind of search the media or you check your portfolio or you look at what's happening in the market with your house price or, I don't know, you just go look for outside sources to give you piece of your understanding. And this entire last couple months, I've been saying, God, I'm just going to wait for you. And I waited. It took me about an extra 3 minutes. That's all we required. And then all of a sudden, I was good. And I was able to go into work, not bring stress to my staff, not bring stress to my family. It's really great when your wife, Chris, my wife said to me this week, she goes, I said, how am I doing? She goes, you know, I've noticed a massive difference in the last 2 weeks. Like, you're not as much verbal process, you know, what all this stuff. It's great when you're, you know, happy wife, happy life. I'm telling you what it is. Live according to the Spirit. If you are into self-justification, you're going to have guilt, you're going to have pride, you're going to have shame. So if you experience those type of things, you're going to have anger, self-justification when people, you know, they're not following the rule properly. You know, the secular world understands this as well. God put the law on our hearts, and they are seeking justification. Every human being is seeking justification. You will see that in the world. The world, the secular world, even if they say they don't believe in God, will create a religion. They will create a secular religion. This happened in the French Revolution. They created, I think it was called the cult of self-knowledge or something. They actually took the sign off of Notre Dame and turned it into it was called like the cult of self-realization. I think Robespierre did it. And so you can look back at that. I know most people don't know that, but they will create a religion. And actually in France, during the French Revolution, they actually started wearing robes and mimicking the Catholic Church, but without God. It's interesting. It's because God has put this God-shaped, unquenchable hole in our hearts that can only be filled by him. So you'll see the secular world move into self-justification by living according to the law. There's three laws that I see that the world lives according to. The first is the laws of science. You're seeing that right now. Like if we understand the laws of science and we obey the laws of science, then I'm justified. If I plant one more tree than you, then I'm better than you. And we're about planting trees. We're going to try to plant 100 trees this year. We should care and love creation. There's a series on that this year, too, so you can check that out. But there's these laws of science. And so you'll get a lot of science thrown to you because this is a law. You can follow the law and justify yourself according to the law. The other law is political laws. So whatever we want to regulate. We want more judges. We want to regulate law because if you don't live according to the Spirit, you have to have a bunch of laws to tell people what to do. If you have a society that is free and open and loving, you actually need less laws. The more laws you have, it shows the less unity you have and the less living by the Spirit. So you will see secular people live according and justify themselves, like it says here, and I'll read this passage in a moment, with circumcision, that they justify themselves according to the law. And then finally, there's a cultural justification, what the populace thinks. And whatever the most people think is a law, we live according to these social laws and cues. What I have found is that the social laws will always trump the other laws. Because science needs to be spoken to, I mean, as human beings that speak science, and you have to trust the scientists that they're being honest and they're not just trying to have an agenda behind the science or some agenda to set laws. So usually, man wins. This is what I've found, that man always wins, and the laws are subject to man. You see that over and over again. So there's these cultural, these are the three laws, and you see our culture right now trying to be justified by these laws. You will see there's a lot of virtue signaling, and Christians do this as well with, you know, I carry a bigger Bible to church, I went to more missions trips. It's just this law that kills you. Here's Paul talking about it. He says, mark my words in verse 2 through 6. I, Paul, tell you that you not let yourselves be circumcised. Christ will be of no value to you at all. Now, let me stop there and say, Paul doesn't care if you're circumcised, if you're doing it for the right reason. Because he says in the end, here at the end of this passage, circumcision is of no value, whether you do it or whether you don't. He cares if you're being circumcised to justify yourself. That is his concern. If you were a Gentile and said, hey, I want to be circumcised just because to be in alignment with the Jews, just as friendship, and it's a symbol of, hey, I love this covenant, and I just, you know, want to do that. Why you'd want to do that as an adult, I have no idea. But nonetheless, say you just decided as a Gentile you wanted to do that, then Paul would be cool with it. But if you said, I don't think I'm saved unless I do this act that was taken care of, that you were justified by that act, Paul's against it. That's what he's talking about. So he says, again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. If you decide to put yourself under the law, then you got to obey it all, every single bit, and we know that you cannot do that. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. See what he says? It's not about that. It's about living according to freedom. Living according to freedom and not doing these things to justify yourself. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Boom. That love. Why do we do these things? Why do we do these things? Paul talks about this in these eating rituals. He says, look, I'm free to eat food by idols. I'm free to wear a mask or not wear a mask. But why would he eat food, he says, if there's somebody who has a conscience issue with the food? He says, I won't eat the food. I'll become all things to all people. Why? I will inconvenience myself so that I might love them. I will eat this food because it, or I will not eat this food because it, I'm living above the law. I'm not putting myself under the law. I don't even think about it. It's like, oh, of course I'll do it because I love you. And if you do it because of love before thinking about the law, then you're living according to the Spirit. You say, I will not eat this food, or I will eat this food, or I will follow this law, or I won't follow this law. I'm going to do it because I love people. I care about people. I want to do those things, you know? And so, this is living according to the Spirit. You will find your life a lot much more filled with peace. You will weaponize the fruits of the Spirit. You will walk in peace and people won't understand why you walk in peace. Now, I haven't been walking in, I've been like most of us, you know, ups and downs. But I did walk into the Valley Farms Market here. Go support them. They're amazing. Great guacamole, fresh made. You can buy it in the little section there. So you get all types of tips here. You get guacamole tips and the Scripture. All things to all people. And a mango salsa, which is great. So I was in there and the gal was like, I was singing with my mask on. I was singing a Christmas song, like, you know, I think it's the Bing Crosby one or whatever, White Christmas. She goes, really? I said, yeah. She goes, that soon? I said, well, I was just in Costco and they had the Halloween outfits. She goes, you must be in a good mood. You're like one of the happiest people I've seen today. And I was like, really? I didn't even realize, but I was just saying, I'm ready for Christmas. I don't know about you, but nonetheless, you live in a freedom. If you are not, if you, look, you will know it. You will feel it if you're living according to justification. If you have doubt, shame, fear, you should not live there because you are judging yourself according to law that you've been set free from. You never need to experience guilt. Holy conviction and godly sorrow, yes. You never need to experience guilt. If you do experience it, it should just be a cue to say, I don't experience guilt. I'm moving away. I don't experience fear. I don't experience, all these other emotions, shame, because the Holy Spirit wants me to live above those things. The final one, as we come in for a close, unrestrained freedom. And we had these other Christians in Paul's time. They're like, I'm going to do what I want. Don't tell me what to do. I'm going to grab that gas handle. I'm going to do what I want because I am free in Christ. And nothing can separate me from the love of God like it says in Romans. And basically, these people are living according to the reptilian brain. If you've heard about the reptilian brain, it's this part, I think it's in the back of the brain. I think it's here at the base of your brain, I think is what I was told by my friend who's a psychologist. The reptilian brain is the brain of the flesh. It is the brain that goes out and hoards toilet paper. It is the brain that takes all of the guacamole when there's only three left, so you can have it all to yourself. It is the brain of lust. It is the brain of covetousness. It is the brain of addiction. It is the brain that just needs to be fed. You will and it will work with your body, and you will feel it. You will feel covetousness. You will feel lust. You will feel even thoughts give gratification. One of the reasons we want to control our thoughts is because thoughts will give gratification. St. Ignatius says if you get a lustful thought and you gratify it, he goes, that's sin. If you get a lustful thought and you turn it away, that is not sin. Because when we gratify it, it actually affects our flesh in a positive, in not a positive way, but in a way that we can feel. So Paul says this in verse 13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. We love it. But you do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Boom. Serve them humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. And this command came up as I asked for wisdom this week. The Lord inundated me with this verse. Everywhere I went, love your neighbor as yourself. You know who else he inundated me with? All those verses about do what the government tells you to do because they're put there to keep you safe. Though I said, Lord, tell me what to do. How do you want me to do it? How do you want me to do it? How should I do it? Show me. And I literally, the tidal wave of love your neighbor. I was even at a coffee house. I looked up yesterday, love thy neighbor underneath the coffee thing. Everywhere I went, I turned on Daily Audio Bible, love thy neighbor, the laws of the land. Now, there is a certain point, obviously, where they say you can't preach the gospel. We're going to have a different conversation at that point. But at the moment, I'm being inconvenienced in order to love people and to keep people safe. And I can do that. I can definitely do that. And so that's what we want to do. And we see Paul say here, love your neighbor. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. This is the social media reptilian brain, right? This is the social media reptilian brain. I got it. You'll know it when you send that email and you'll feel it. My old pastor said, Adam, if you ever send an email and you feel really good afterwards, you sent the wrong email. And you will usually pay for it. You're not under the law. We're done here now, closing the sermon, this series. Not under the law. In order to be freedom, you need to live above the law and according to the spirit of the law. Now, let me say this real quickly. The spirit wrote the law. The law is under the spirit. When Paul says, and this is what he means by this in this verse when he finishes it out, that he says, the law, we are no longer, in verse 22, against such things there is no law. That's what he means. The reason there's no law is because the hand that wrote the law is above the law. And so if you live according to the Spirit, you don't need laws. If you live according to the Spirit, you will never break the law, and you don't need laws. And that is why Paul says you're free. You will know it if you're free. Let me just tell you, your body is built to tell you if you're free or if you're not free. You will feel it in your mind, your body, and your spirit. And nothing is more powerful than a church of free people. Because when you're free, they can take nothing from you. When you are free, you are no longer afraid. You are no longer afraid to give your life away to the poor, to care for those. Life in the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, then we walk by the Spirit. So concludes the Sparking the Flames of Revival. I encourage you to go back, re-listen to these, implement these into your life so we can have a church full of free people free people that don't give to God because there's a law that says you need to give to God, but you give to God as a free will offering. That's what he wants everywhere, anyways. My wife doesn't want me to tell her I love her because there's a law that tells me I have to tell my wife I love her. She wants me to just have this bubbling love that comes out of her. She feels it before I tell her. That is life by the Spirit. It is the life we are going to it as a church. So that is why we want to just do these things to show the world, to show our neighborhood, to show your neighborhood that we love them and we will follow the laws. Why? Because they don't relate to us. We live above the law and we do these things for the right reasons. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand and I'm going to bless you and we have communion today. And Joe Brandy actually is going to come up for communion.
It's where the Apostle Paul received what Jesus had said to his disciples before he went to the cross. For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So, if you can, take this little wafer. If you want, you can break it, because when he says he broke it, his body was literally broken for you. You may not obey the law perfectly of your wife, of your son, of your friend, but Jesus' body was broken. He perfectly obeyed the law in your place to reconcile you back to the Father. And if you receive him by faith, he comes into you and you into him. Let us eat this together, and then we'll do the cup together. Jesus, thank you for breaking your body for us. Thank you for this symbol that Christians can do all over the world throughout all generations, that is the visible gospel, the visible good news, the symbol of what you did 2,000 years ago, but applies today and carries us into the future of the new heavens, new earth. Thank you so much. Amen. Now, take this juice, which is symbolic of Jesus' blood shed on the cross for you. You're forgiven by his grace, by his perfect works, by his substitution. And we are called to forgive one another too. So if there's anybody that you haven't forgiven deep in your heart, even yourself, do that work today. Let us drink of his symbolic blood. Father, Son, and Spirit, thank you for that plan of redemption where you would send your son to step into the world to earn salvation for your people, for your lost children, and bring them back home. We receive by faith that Jesus is that Savior that loved us, that his body was broken and his blood was shed. Thank you that we can meet together, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
So, Lord God, bless these people now as they go out to change the world. Give them covering, Lord Jesus. Let them love like they've never loved before. And let them be free. Wash them free. God, that they no longer are living under according to the law. They'll feel it, Lord. And then let them wait with you and battle with you to build hedges of protection, hedges of love, hedges of glory, restored relationships, asking forgiveness, Lord God, and then just changing the world. So we just love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, church, if you we appreciate you being here. We'll be back at the Bay tonight. If you could just do your mask protocols really well, it really helps us to keep our services going. We want to do that. So we love you. We'll see you soon.